It is the new Vicious Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. We are live, and we're also new and vicious, 7 days a week. That's new and vicious Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. New and vicious Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, with the new and vicious Jim Valley, here on the new and vicious Wrestling Observer Live. In case you were wondering, I am not one of Rocky Johnson's illegitimate children. My mom was Canadian and in Vancouver around the same time as Rocky, but to be sure, I checked 23andMe. Not the website. 23andMe is the title of Rocky Johnson's autobiography. 23, yeah, he had a lot of illegitimate children. Good God, Rocky, what a frickin' carny. Coming up on the new and vicious show, Money in the Bank. Also, the maximum male models. Like 15 years too late. What? A lot of people are offended. I'm not offended. I thought it was fine. I think Max Dupree is talented, but it's like Tim Gunn isn't even on TV anymore, and we've got maximum male models. Also, the new and vicious Viking Raiders. Did you hear that they're new and vicious? Now with Shields. They're just like Malibu Stacy. What's new? She has a hat. I can't wait for the action figures. Also, why do the Viking Raiders have the same eyeshadow as Ronda Rousey? This week, WWE signed Logan Paul. He was awesome at WrestleMania, but if you're a fan of his, you turn on SmackDown. What are you going to think of Vince's Boomer Entertainment? The world is changing, but WWE is not. We'll talk about that. We'll preview Money in the Bank, Rampage, and so much more on this patriotic Canada Day and 4th of July weekend. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Or you can tweet me at Jim Valley. We're also live on my YouTube channel. You can just Google Jim Valley and it'll come up if you want to do that. I do this each and every Saturday. I may or may not be live next Saturday. I'm not sure. I'm going to be in Florida. If I am live, we'll do it over Skype. And I may have a special treat for you. I'm going to be at the house of pro wrestling reporter Scott Fishman, who's a great guy. I'll see if I can get him on the air. And we'll do a show maybe next week from Palace Day. Scott Fishman in Florida. If we can make it work, we'll see what happens there. But I've got two new podcasts up this week at WrestlingObserver.com. Not that you'd know that. Not that they ever get promoted, but that's okay. I'm not bitter about it. Not angry about it. Anyway, Fumi Saito gives his observations on Forbidden Door, the Stardom pay-per-view, and Tajiri has a brand new book out that Fumi helped translate into English. That's all on the new Pacific Rim. Mike Sempervivi's in the YouTube chat saying, I understand. I hear you, Semp. I hear you. I feel you. I feel you on that dog. It's like, I don't know. At least people aren't taking your podcasts from you. At least I'll say that. But anyway, the body wasn't even cold yet. I'm still not cold, am I? No, I'm not. Anyway, then I talked about Tough Tony Bourne versus Lonnie Mane, probably the biggest feud in Portland wrestling history, and my friend Frank Culbertson was a kid and was at Portland Memorial Coliseum, along with about 8,000 other fans, back in 1968. Some great history. Also talking about the new Portland wrestling book called Katie Bar the Door. It's all in the new Portland WrestleCast. Both are free at WrestlingObserver.com. Did you know that? All of the shows, except Dave and Brian stuff, which is great. Everything else is no longer behind a paywall. Did they make a big deal about that? I'm not aware that they did. Anyway, I still have my Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. I guess it's the one show that nobody wanted. Because you don't have to get up early, because you have to get up early. And now there's so much wrestling you gotta watch. And it all ends at like 10 and 11 o'clock. Then you gotta get up early and write the show. I see why nobody else wants this show. They want all my other shows, but not this show. Which is fine, because I love this show. This is my little corner. I can still do radio. I can still do what I do. Whatever it is I do. Anyway, you know, this is Saturday. It's a holiday weekend. I think from what I can tell, most of you listen and download this later. And so because of that, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Money in the Bank. You know, one of the reasons people watch wrestling is to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen when Sting finally faces Hollywood Hulk Hogan? When John Cena faces off against The Rock? When Roman Reigns faces off against Brock Lesnar? When Roman Reigns faces off against Brock Lesnar? When Roman Reigns faces off against Brock Lesnar? When Roman Reigns faces off against Brock... You get the idea. Well, that's the problem with Money in the Bank. It's pretty predictable. In a world of WWE disposable entertainment, it is really the Kleenex of pay-per-views. Did WWE build up Ronda Rousey and bring her back and pay her all this money so Natalya can beat her? No, of course not. Did WWE build up the Usos and the Bloodline so the Street Profits can win, can beat them and go on to greener pastures? Of course not. And understand, that is not a knock on the talents who are the Street Profits. Montez Ford is great, and Dawkins holds up his end of the bargain. And the Usos and the Street Profits was a strong segment last night on SmackDown. But like Natalya, WWE booking has taught us, unfortunately, that the Street Profits lose. Not in real life. They're not real life losers. They're awesome. But when it comes to wins and losses, the Street Profits are losers. The United States Championship match, Theory versus Bobby Lashley. Both Lashley and Theory are winners. In this match, the loser is the U.S. Championship. That's a loser belt. Lashley is above the U.S. title. The only reason he'll get the title is if they want it off Theory before he faces John Cena at SummerSlam. But either way, Theory's going to win this match. The Raw Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair versus Carmella. Really? Don't waste my time. I like the Carmella character. She's got some charisma and some presence, but they didn't spend all this time and money to build up Bianca Belair to feed her to Carmella. Not a chance. SmackDown Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey versus Natalya. Come on. The women's Money in the Bank. Again, a lot of talent. But I think it's pretty obvious. Becky Lynch is going to cash in, win the championship, so she can chase Bianca Belair. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match. That's really the only question on the card. A lot of people think Rollins will win and recreate his WrestleMania 31 cash-in at SummerSlam after Roman and Brock Lesnar's last man standing match. That is possible. But for me, if I gotta pick somebody, I'm picking Drew McIntyre. I think then he stands in the ring and calls his shot in front of the hometown crowd at Clash at the Castle. Now, this is not a prediction, but if you want my thoughts, if I was booking, I would have the Usos and maybe even Roman Reigns come out and help Sami Zayn win, and then have Sami taunt everyone for a few weeks, maybe even a month or two. And then eventually, he gets cocky and loses the briefcase to Drew. And again, you go to Clash at the Castle. That might be entertaining. And look, I take nothing away from the talent. The roster is filled with incredibly talented individuals. It's going to be a good show. It's just going to be incredibly predictable and not too hard to figure out. But it's on a Saturday because it's a 4th of July patriotic weekend. I think it's going to be a good show. I take nothing away from the talent. But my God, I'm watching SmackDown. It's the World Boomer Federation. We'll talk about this Boomer Vision coming up next. It's Jim Vallee, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. It's Jim Vallee, and it's Wrestling Observer Live. Hope you're enjoying this 4th of July Canada Day weekend. I celebrate both. My mother was Canadian, so we'd often go up to Vancouver or Victoria, see the fireworks, come back, celebrate the 4th of July as well. Wherever you're celebrating with your loved ones, doing it in a safe manner. Well, anyway, I mentioned Money in the Bank tonight in Las Vegas, talking to friends of mine. You know, there's some buzz for the show, but not like a lot. It's, I don't know. I was watching SmackDown and the whole thing with Logan Paul, and I think Logan Paul can be an asset to WWE, but let me say this up front. The WWE roster is filled with incredibly talented individuals. People like Seth Rollins, Asuka, Matt Riddle, Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn, Natalya. You know, I know some people don't like him, but even people like Happy Corbin. I like Happy Corbin. I think the way he works the crowd is oftentimes brilliant. And I want to make a clear distinction. The performers in WWE are some of the best in the industry. And I have nothing but respect for their abilities, the time they put in, the bumps they take, the miles, the wear and tear on their bodies, and the perfecting of their craft. I could not do what they do. As individuals, they have my utmost respect and admiration. As I watched SmackDown last night, all I could hear was Vince's voice in everything. A good old-fashioned battle royal. the new vicious Viking Raiders. How many times did we have to hear the new vicious Viking Raiders? Even Pat McAfee had to say it. The individual that is supposed to be Pat McAfee, the guy who's supposed to be out there, he's the outlier. And even he has got to be a marionette, one of Vince's puppets, saying the new vicious Viking Raiders. The tantalizing quote, I don't know, whatever it was, I don't even care, for the maximum male models. You know, it's like this whole, whatever you want to call it, this affair situation has emboldened him more than usual. His voice and perspective, his stamp on this product seems even stronger than usual. I look around and I see the world changing. God, I wish I could swear on the radio right now. I effing love it. I turned 53 years old about 2 weeks ago. Look, and I'm reaching the age where marketers say that I'm not going to try new things, that I'm set in my ways. And look, maybe that's going to happen. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the concrete in my life is hardening. And look, maybe I'm becoming a bitter old man. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to tell kids to get off my lawn. You know, the older I get, the angrier I get. Not at kids. Everybody has their time. Go make your mistakes. Go have fun. Go do what you do. I did it. You should do it. It's your frickin' rite of passage, by God. I'm mad at the boomers. They had the numbers. They got their way. They have gotten their way for so frickin' long. They think that that's the way the world is. And there's no different way of doing things. You know, they love their cars. They came of age in the time of cars and roads. So that's why here in Seattle, we don't have transit. We've got roads. Japan, Europe, they've got trains and light rail and fast trains, bullet trains. But no, not here. Not because of the boomers, because they love their frickin' cars. Just as an example, you know, decades of boomers having their self-congratulations parties, and I'm frickin' sick of it. The younger generations are now changing the rules that fit them. And I frickin' love it. The boomers are getting mad. They're gripping with their last vestiges to try to shape the world. Well, guess what? It's not your way anymore. And I just hope, through all my sickness, that I lived long enough to see it frickin' change. It's not gonna be my generation. I don't even care if it's right or wrong. You know, God bless him. And I wanna make another thing perfectly clear. I do not think that Jim Cornette is racist. I do not. He is not. And if you listen to his show, he's just a 60-year-old boomer. He has some changes, some things, but he's very set in his ways with wrestling. There's nothing wrong with that. But the people who grew up watching wrestling now didn't grow up with Gilligan's Island, didn't grow up with Lost in Space. They grew up with new things. And new they grew up with Nickelodeon. They grew up with Rugrats. And the new things that are old, the new nostalgia, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, the video game. not Space Invaders. You know, I'm wearing my Atari Adventure shirt right now. I grew up with Atari. And that's cool. But I love, you know, and when I worked in radio, I tried to teach the boomers that Seattle was changing, that it was no longer the Jet City, that it was technology, that it was Amazon, that it was Microsoft, that it was Yahoo, that it was Facebook. But no, the boomers in charge wouldn't do stories on that. Because they're boomers. Because things have got to be their way. And I watch SmackDown getting back to wrestling. Maximum Male Models. And again, Max Dupree, Eli Drake, whatever you want to call him, he's freaking talented. Mansoor, Mansoor, whatever you want to call him, he has shown a lot of charisma and versatility in every role he's been given in WWE. He's very likable. Mace, great body, great look. I think he's got some charisma. I can't really tell. The jury's still out on him. We'll see his progress in the next few weeks. But maybe he's got something. I'm not sure. And I'm not being too critical of the talent who's doing their best with what they've been given. But Maximum Male Models is a gimmick for someone who's not paying attention. Project Runway was popular like 15 years ago. 15, Tim Gunn isn't even on Project Runway anymore. And when I go out, I see people dressed in more colorful ways than Mansoor and Mance, or however you say his name. Whatever, I'm just gonna call him Mace. Are they heels because they're metrosexual and effeminate? I don't know, that's a very dangerous line. I don't know that that's a good idea. Is it because they're vain and have high opinions of themselves? Dude, that's everyone on Instagram. It's just an example of Vince and World Boomer Entertainment. Look at Theory, the big young talent who they want to get behind. And I think it's a great idea to get behind young talent. He looks to be heading to a showdown with John Cena at SummerSlam. In the age of TikTok, what's Theory's gimmick? He takes selfies. Again, 15 years behind. Selfies are not a novelty. Look at Xia Li. She's an anime character because that's the way Boomer Vince sees Asians. Look at Jira, Kushida, with the exception of Asuka, maybe Nakamura, and Asuka doesn't count because Asuka's a freaking wrestling genius. They're just these stereotypes. Wrestlers are characters, and by their own right, they have to be certainly stereotypical. They can't be too deep. It's freaking wrestling. But WWE, Asians are not represented well, in my humble opinion. Compare Asians and compare Forbidden Door, one of the greatest shows of all time. Seriously. World Boomer Entertainment. I wish Vince a long life. I wish him no ill will, but by God, get some young eyes on the prop. Your thoughts, you can tweet me at Jim Valley or 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. It's Jim Valley Sports Byline Broadcasting. Looking at the YouTube chat, people reminded me about Io Shirai. It's been in NXT forever. Color, where in the world is Io Shirai? She hadn't even been on NXT featured that much. Think about this. I would make the argument, over the past few years, arguably the best wrestler in the world, bell to bell, Io Shirai, hidden in NXT, all this time wasted. Because of what? Because Boomer Vince has this mindset of what a wrestler has to do. A wrestler doesn't necessarily have to cut 12-minute promos. She doesn't have to do that. She gets over by her in-ring ability. Plus, she looks cool as hell. She's an attractive woman. People will also find her attractive, believe it or not. It's not the same thing. But don't get me wrong. Do you think Vince even knows that there's a Korean Asian boy band that are sex symbols? That would probably blow his mind. That there are young, white, American girls who think young Korean boys are sex symbols and they have posters of them on their walls. I'm just saying, it's a different world now. A lot of these things, these tropes that used to matter, don't matter anymore to upcoming generations. And it is a great frickin' thing. To quote wrestling, it's a new day. And I just wish WWE would give them credit. The Pride stuff has been great. I give them a lot of credit for that. But there's still a ways to go. Rampage Friday night, Brody King won a two-ring, what they call it, a Rampage Royal. Or as I would call it, not an old-fashioned battle royal. To become the next contender for Jon Moxley. I think he's a great choice. You know, he's not going to beat Moxley, but it's going to elevate him. He's kind of been in a henchman role. Brody King is great. It'll give him a spotlight. I'm sure he'll lose, but he'll have good matches. It'll elevate him being in the ring with Mox. And also, he eliminated Darby Allin, so it was like, it's a good win. He beat a star like Darby Allin. You know? Someone also mentioned Semper Vivi, right? God, Semp, I wish I had your memory. My memory's shot to hell. You know, talking about the Gail King story, Gail Kim, from JR a long time ago. You know, exactly. It's just, I don't know. Also, on Rampage, Toni Storm beat Nyla Rose, and afterwards Marina Shafir attacked Toni Storm, and Thunder Rosa made the save, and they talked about a thunderstorm. Kind of a punny name, but why not? I'll take it. And Nyla Rose gave a great promo over the past 3 years. I feel like Nyla has still been kind of finding her voice as the native beast. And Friday night, it's only taken 3 years, but Nyla Rose nailed it. Now look, in my opinion, Nyla Rose is an important character in AEW and pro wrestling. And I'm not sure if she completely understands how important she is. There are times in the past, especially in the beginning, when she's done commentary and she sounds like a cool person to like hang out with and like binge watch a show with, but she doesn't sound like the native beast, you know? That beast character. And, you know, sometimes I've also had questions about her physical conditioning and matches. Sometimes seems like she gets blown up. But lately, she's had strong promos and in-ring matches. And as a trans athlete, I think she's an important character and should take her role very seriously. And I think if you want to criticize Nyla's performance, like at times I've done on television, I think that's fair game. But anything else is none of anyone else's damn business. Something has been bothering me. And I think this whole thing with Vince and the World Boomer Federation, it's kind of stemmed from an interview that Kenny Omega did. I think it's called CEO Gaming. He did a Twitch stream. and he spoke about the vile treatment that's been online of Riho, Hikaru Shida, Yuko Sakazaki, and Maki Ito. And he said that they came to the U.S. with no idea they would have people so racist against them. And Omega said that when he tries to explain it to them in Japanese, that it's people not worth listening to, who stirred up by podcasters that they can't comprehend it. He says that they train harder 7 days a week in Japan, and there's never an issue with them. But they can't comprehend or understand the level of harassment, both in their wrestling and their looks. And look, if you don't like a wrestler, that's your choice. There are things in life that you like. There are things that you relate to because of your experiences as an individual. I can't force you to like anybody or anything. That becomes groupthink, and that's dangerous too. However, there is a line. I do the Pacific Rim podcast with Fumi Saito, Japan's most respected author, historian, and journalist. And a lot of what we try to do is educate and explain history and certain cultural differences to people. I look at it as like a bridge between cultures. Sometimes I intentionally ask questions, obvious questions, where I already know the answers because I want to get something across. Fumi's passion is education and passing down history. So that's what we try to do. And if you listen, I hope you learn new things. You know, Japan, for example, has idol culture. I don't expect everyone to understand it. But if you watch Riho, she's a great wrestler. Same thing with Hikaru Shida. You don't have to like them. But all of us, as decent people, need to draw a line and stick up for them. You know, you watch Riho. Yeah, she's small. She's slight. But if you watch her wrestling, her body language is extraordinary. Her impact, her stuff connects. She is great in the ring. And a lot of fans, she's won over a lot of fans. Same thing with Maki Ito. Same thing with Yuka Sakazaki. There will always be differences. I remember the first time I saw the wrestler formerly known as Kagetsu, now known as Yuushino. I'm just going to call him Kagetsu just for the time being, because that's what his name was back then. When I first saw then Kagetsu, I'm going to use the pronoun he, because that's his current pronoun. It's when you talk past tense. Look, I'm still older. I'm not that great at this yet, but I'm all for it. So forgive my clumsiness. Let me get that across. It took me a while to completely get him. But once I did, he was brilliant and is brilliant in the ring. I didn't at first understand the dance that the faction did, that Oedo Tai did. That takes time to understand. There are certain things that get lost in various cultures' translations. That's normal. But if you give it more than, 20 seconds, you can figure it out. And that's what I just don't understand with the World Boomer Federation. A lot of things need to be characters and action figures, but they don't need to be boiled down to where only a toddler can understand it. Wrestling can be slightly more complex which is why I enjoy the way AEW promotes people of different cultures and different ethnicities, different countries. They're not all stereotypes. We have wrestlers who are from India on AEW. You don't see them coming out and, you know, doing stereotypical Indian behaviors. They're just people. People who happen to be from India. The Bollywood boys, they incorporate their Indian culture, but they're not stereotypes. They just happen to be people of Indian descent. And I wish the World Boomer Federation would get up to speed on that. And if you, as a decent person, see people online or at arenas talking and saying inappropriate things about people like Rio or Yuka Sakazaki, there's a line. If you want to say you don't like Rio's wrestling, that's fine. But there's a line. But we as decent people need to speak up if someone crosses the line talking about Yu Ishino or Nyla Rose or the Bollywood boys or anyone for that matter. Anyone of any different culture. If you don't like their wrestling, that's one thing. If you think their matches are boring, that's another. If you think their conditioning needs to get better, that's fair game. I'm not saying we need to patronize people and go, oh, aren't you great? Aren't you wonderful? Just because they're different? No. There are still standards of performance. But there's a line as far as talking about people for their lifestyles and who they are. And we, as decent people of all ages, of all races, of all creeds, of all colors, of all religions, of all backgrounds, whether it's online or in the arena, and I wish I could swear right now, we need to shut that stuff down. And let people like Kenny Omega know that we're on his side. Wrestling's great, and it's a big tent, and this tent welcomes everyone. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. You know, Logan Paul, I guess, his people want him to be a babyface. I don't know how that's going to work. Good luck to them on that. What's going to happen? I can imagine they're going to pitch backstage, well, what if we have Miz rip up one of Logan Paul's Pokemon cards? Vince would be like, what's a Pokemon card? Is that like my Babe Ruth baseball card? Someone in the YouTube chat, or no, someone on Twitter rather, asking me about John Cena. Who do you think is the biggest star that Vince missed out on? You know, there's so many. With John Cena coming back, and this is not John Cena's fault at all. John Cena did so many jobs and did his best, and I can't say enough good things about John Cena, but when I think about John Cena, I think about Wade Barrett. And that guy, he's big, he had presence, he has charisma. That guy, when he was in the NWA, talking without a script, he was a great commentator. He's great on NXT. He always says the perfect thing. And I'm like, what did that guy do? What did he do wrong? He's tall. He's good looking. He could have been perfect for the European market. Did he look at someone wrong? Did he cut in front of somebody at catering? I think about that match where all those chairs fell down and buried him, literally and figuratively. So, Wade Barrett, what a lost talent. I may be here next week, maybe not. We'll figure it out. Hopefully be able to talk to you from Florida. Either way, follow me on Twitter, at Jim Valley. Have a great and safe patriotic weekend. Enjoy Money in the Bank. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.